Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Happy Saturday morning, Nashville. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Four's Company brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Gentlemen, it's good to be back in studio. This is my first time being in studio for the show in almost a month.
Yeah.
So glad to be here. We got a fun show planned. Lots of Titans talk. Training camp is underway for the Titans, started on Tuesday, and we've got practice at Nissan Stadium coming up later today for the Titans as well. So mostly Titans show today. We're going to talk some Olympics as well, as the opening ceremonies were last night. Lots to get to. Let's start with, actually, before headlines, hit the music.
Da-da-da. What'd you have for nutrition? I think I'm up. I can't really tell.
You're up.
I'm up. Okay, there we go. My headphones weren't working.
You're up. Yeah.
Ba-da-bup. What'd you have for nutrition?
Mini wheats.
Ooh. Mini wheats. That's a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. I like to hit it early, you know, get a quick little meal in before our shows. So it was mini wheats today. I've been hitting it hard on, like, I wouldn't say healthy cereal, but like
right.
The more
healthier cereal.
Protein stuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mini wheats, that was a staple of like elementary and middle school for me. That was
big.
Put some
time.
Banana in
was
it?
Was it the one that was like frosted?
Yeah, the blueberry frosted ones. Ooh.
I just got the regular.
Oh, you just had the regular
the
ones?
The frosted, yeah.
See, as a kid, I used to like crunch them up and then put like yogurt on them and put them in the freezer and just like make little mini wheat bars.
Ooh. Yeah.
I was a creative little kid.
Very nice.
There we go. Nutrition. Getting into some great breakfast recipes for you listeners out there. If you want
the earliest nutrition we've ever had.
I wanted to get it out of the way because we got a lot to get to, obviously. Let's start with our headlines. Nick Frazier, why don't you get us going here?
Yes, my headline is the LPL Financial Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week. It is Carly Wilson, 5'10 junior guard, out at basketball team in Tusculum University in Greenville, Tennessee. Grew up in the Donaldson area, played for Oakland High School. Last season, she was named the team captain as a sophomore. That's pretty impressive for the Pioneers. And she averaged 9 points per game. That's also pretty impressive as a sophomore to kind of break through the starting lineup there. Let's see. She was also second on the team in rebounding and blocks. Off the court, she holds a 3.88 GPA. Wow, that's smarter than me.
Wow.
And will graduate in 3 years. Again, smarter than me. Good job. Last season, Carly was named the NCAA Division II Academic All-District Team. Holy cow. Most importantly, she commits many hours in the community. Carly volunteers with the Second Harvest Food Bank and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Awesome. Shout out to that. She's a camp counselor at the Youth Incorporated Ranch. And Carly tutors middle school students in math. So that's another subject that I'm not great at. So, Carly, great job. You are the Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week.
And where's she go to school at?
She goes to Tusculum University.
Yeah. Nice.
And this is sponsored by LPL Financial, Patrick Conger, for your financial planning so you can enjoy tomorrow.
Very nice.
Awesome stuff. Learned a lot about Carly. Learned a lot about Frazier's math skills and academic skills.
Shout
as
out
well.
Miss Arnold, baby. She's the pride and joy of my math career. So thank you, Miss Arnold.
Now I wonder what our cumulative GPA is as a show.
That is true.
I mean, I graduated with a 3.75 from MTSU.
Okay.
But
that's about what I had, too.
I was in the 3.8 range somewhere around there, so we were all in the same ballpark, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Connor, what you got right now?
He doesn't know.
He's thinking.
As he talks about himself in the third person.
I think I have a 3.6.
Good for you.
I'm dumber than all of you. But
hey, you have a lot more, you know, tarmac to work with.
Yeah, you got time here.
I got one more gen ed.
Hey, as Jeff Foxworthy says, are you smarter than a fifth grader? And I think you are, so it's okay.
Soon to be Travis Kelce, by the way.
I'm sorry?
They're rebooting that show.
Really?
On Amazon, and Travis Kelce is going to be
I did not know that.
Interesting stuff.
The more
going,
you know.
Going through our headlines here on this Saturday morning on Four's Company, getting off the rails a little bit early here. You can get involved as well. Text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nick Kieser, what is your headline today?
Yeah, really quickly, the 2020 NFL quarterback draft class has now accumulated over $1.25 billion. And I just wanted to throw that out there because that class consists of players like Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts. So you can rank those however you want with whatever quarterback you like. But I thought that was intriguing to see that there are a lot of guys getting their bag right now. Obviously, Jordan Love, most recently last night. Then right before that was Tua, who quote-unquote broke his news first, by the way. Heard that on Stillman & Company yesterday. But yeah, all these guys getting paid, and this is a very deep draft class that can just continues to showcase why they were so special out of the gates. So there you go.
It is crazy to look at a draft class where the first five quarterbacks all got massive $200-plus million deals. Like, think of some of the other ones. 2021, a year later, Trevor Lawrence is the only one who's gotten a deal. Everybody else is on a second team at this point. So cool stuff to see all those guys get paid, despite maybe our opinions on whether they should have gotten paid. I'm not a huge fan of the Tua contract. I think that you could – Dolphins fans may not like this. I think if they took Ryan Tannehill back, I think they would probably have the same shot at winning a Super Bowl as Tua Tagovailoa.
That's fair.
With the weapons that he has around him, like Ryan Tannehill, when he was on the Dolphins, never had Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. So I'm not a huge fan of that contract. Jordan Love, I like the player, but is the track record there?
I don't know.
To maybe get $55 million.
Apparently, you can play half of a good season and get paid. I don't even think he's the best QB in his division.
Could it be a bargain, though, at some point because of the market? That's my thought.
Yeah, you could look back at that 3 years down the road and be like, maybe, man, we got him early. But, man, like, is C.J. Stroud? I guess it's probably too early for Stroud after this year.
Too
I think
early.
You've got to wait 3 years. But, like, I don't know. Play. It seems like all it takes is one good year where you show the team that you've got a little bit of potential, that you could be the guy, and they're like, take all of my money.
That just
take
shows all of it. That just shows how important the quarterback position is, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, if one slip of a finger where your quarterback's hurt for 3-4 weeks, you're calling a guy like Joe Flacco off the couch.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Did you guys know that, I don't know if you listened to that interview, the fly fishing and then also fishing underwater, by the way.
Spear fishing.
Scoop City podcast. We'll talk about Tannehill later probably. But yeah, yesterday listening to that interview, I found that interesting that he has that capability.
He's got some interesting hobbies. Yeah. Spear fishing. He's a pilot. Like Ryan Tannehill, a man of many different talents. Connor Newt, I promised a month ago when the last time I was in studio that you would stop going last on things. So, Connor, what's your headline?
I can't believe you remembered that. Yeah, I want to talk about let's talk about these coaching press conferences that have been happening this week. Deshaun Foster, we'll start with. I don't have the clip in front of me. I really don't want to.
I don't want to hear that one again.
It's a minute and 12 seconds of obviously his opening statement. He's, hi, we're at UCLA, we're in LA, so is USC. Any questions? And it's like a minute and 12 seconds of just pure awkward. I was like, what is this guy doing? Not the best opening statement of all time. The best one belongs to Mike Leach a couple years ago. I believe it was his last SEC media days.
Yes.
He gets up, dry heaves, and says, any questions? So that one was great. And then we go to the NFL. Jim Harbaugh talks about how football is just as great as being in the womb and being born. I don't have any memories of being in the womb, but hey, to each their own, Jim Harbaugh. I don't have that clip in front of me either, and again, I don't know
if we want to hear it.
Oh, I don't think so. The loins, though, the loins.
Jim Harbaugh's a weird dude. Yeah. And it's like John, I feel like, is a pretty normal guy. Like, John Harbaugh, it seems like he's pretty straightforward. Like, you don't get too many odd comments from him, but Jim, just out there all
it's
the
weird
time.
Very strange. Didn't he like have a Winnebago or something, and he was hanging out in some sort of stadium parking lot or something like that?
Yeah, something like
trying to treat it like the Madden bus or something.
No, it was, I think, when he was suspended the first few weeks of the college season. He was in an RV, and they went from stadium to stadium, I think, for the road games that he missed. I believe that's the story, but I remember he was at least hanging out in an RV for the games that he could not coach.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And he tailgated, so.
He seems like the kind of guy to wear a nightgown and a cap to bed.
Yeah, he does. He kind of looks like a younger version of Ebenezer Scrooge from the Christmas Carol.
Took the words right.
I cannot unsee that now.
The one that came out with, like, Tom Hanks, like.
Yes.
Or no, Tom Hanks was
Tom
Polar
Carey?
Express.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Yeah. That one. Yes.
Someone from Hollywood.
We'll have to look back like
the
20 years
from now.
The white
and blue cap and the white
Tom
and blue.
Yeah,
Carrey.
Yeah.
He said Tom Carrey.
Tom Carrey.
Listen, I got up at 2 a.m. today. Don't ask me why. It was
NRL, baby.
Nah, a little bit of that, a little bit of Olympics, but I just really couldn't sleep well.
Mm.
Overall, we're good, though.
That's okay.
Well, speaking of Olympics, that's my headline. The opening ceremonies last night. Got a little weird out there in Paris, but yeah. we'll move past that as well. We don't need to revisit that. Lots of good stuff coming up the next 2 weeks. I love the Olympics. It is disappointing, the time difference, where most of the live stuff isn't going to be in prime time. Like, you're going to get stuff at 2 or 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., and a lot of the primetime stuff is at 2 in the afternoon,
yep.
which during the week is a little bit challenging for a lot of people. Mm. Nice on the weekends, like Sunday afternoon, you can watch some of the big swimming and running and all that stuff. But I'm excited for this, which gets us to our question of the day. We want to know, what is your favorite Olympic event? Cannot be basketball or soccer. And we'll say Summer Olympic event, because Summer Olympics.
Are we sticking to Summer Olympics?
Yes, Summer Olympics. No basketball, no soccer, because those are just...
Yeah.
They're too mainstream. We'll say no golf either. No golf, too.
Really? No golf?
No,
okay.
No mainstream. We need, like...
Thank you.
Olympic sports.
Okay.
Like... Track and field. You can say just track and field, or you could be specific. The 100-meter dash, swimming, volleyball,
one
gymnastics.
Could, yeah, one you could say water polo, badminton. Apparently,
rugby sevens, which we were
rugby
watching
sevens.
Before we went on air.
Table tennis.
We want to hear from you. We'll give our answers coming up in hour number two. You can text or call 615-737-1025. Let us know what's your favorite Olympic event, and if you got a cool story from the last couple of Olympics or whenever of watching that event, we'd love to hear that as well.
Got an oddball for you.
Yes.
So be prepared.
Yes, exactly. We'll get to that coming up at 10 o'clock with our answers, but feel free to call or text whenever you have the chance. We'd love to hear from you. Forrest Company here on this Saturday morning. We've got some Titans talk coming up next. Training camp is underway. We've got practice coming up in Nissan Stadium later on today. We're going to give our general takeaways from the first week of camp. A lot of players out there on the field that we were wondering about. A couple players getting hurt. We heard from Brian Callahan. We'll get to that coming up next. Forrest Company, Saturday mornings here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you for his company here on this Saturday morning. We're going to get into some Titans here, but again, our question of the day is, what is your favorite Olympic event? Do you have any stories from it? And we do have a caller on the line. Our good friend Adam in Portland wants to chime in. Adam, what do you got for us on the Olympics?
Yeah, I look at it as like, what's the event that I actually look for the schedule for? And it's swimming, just because I think, like, I don't know, it was a few months ago, somebody on one of their shows, I think it was Joe and Chase's show, where they were talking about the GOAT, and they're like, tell me a GOAT of a sport that you just, people don't always talk about. Katie Ledecky, dude, like, every time she goes out, she sets a record.
Yep.
Like, if she doesn't set a record, it's a disappointing day for her. Gold medals are, like, incredible. I don't think anybody, I don't even think Phelps, and I'm not comparing the two because I don't know enough about it, but I don't think he's done as much as she has. Plus, if you look at it, like, across all of the people who are the best at their sport, it's not like she's 6'7", dude. She's a 5-foot-nothing little woman that's just worked her butt off her whole life, and she's the best, dude. Like, and I think Americans should look at her and just be super proud that she's American. Like, she just crushes it. So I watch it. Every time she's in the pool, man, I watch it.
Appreciate the call, Adam. That's a very good point. Lots of must-see TV athletes. He mentioned Michael Phelps. He was definitely that guy for a couple of Olympics. But Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, like athletes that do things that you just can't even fathom out there.
And they also, I don't know if you saw this video that they put out about Katie. Katie balanced chocolate milk on her head swimming in the pool. This came out about a month ago. I'm not kidding. This actually happened. I'll show you guys at the break. But Katie balanced milk and did freestyle all the way down the pool. It was awesome.
Some of these athletes, you can't really gather how impressive it is on TV. I'm sure being there in person, you realize how fast these humans are going in the pool, or Simone Biles. Gymnastics, it's a little easier to fathom because you're watching them do things and get so much air and like so much strength that I couldn't even consider doing some of the stuff that they're doing. But swimming, I'm sure in person, you're like, oh my goodness, they're so much faster than I thought they were.
Yeah, they're like dolphins and sharks and whatever fish is. What are they called? Barracudas. Barracudas are the fast fish out there.
Great song, by the way.
Yeah, great song. You're right. But no, Katie Ledecky is phenomenal in the water. It's honestly some of the most fun I have is watching the swim and dive teams, and obviously the freestyles and what the breaststroke and not the back. They don't do a backstroke, do they?
I think they do all of it.
They do all of it.
And then they do like the medleys and the relay. The relays are so much fun. I was looking at a clip. I think it was from London 2012. Where it was that like super team swimming with like Phelps and Ryan Lochte and all those guys, and it's just electric seeing like Michael Phelps doing the butterfly, like he's just barely passing the guy from Great Britain. I can't wait to watch some swimming this week.
I want to see Sha'Carri Richardson in action. I mean, I am just pumped because she missed out on the last Olympics, and obviously, like you were saying, the live prime time is going to be around 2-3 in the morning. So if people want to watch it, it's going to be pretty early. So I'll get up for it. I don't mind it. I want to see her get a gold medal in 200.
I got women's water polo on right now.
Hey,
the USA is absolutely dominating Greece right now, 12-3.
Oh, wow.
Let me say this real quick about the Olympics. A lot of the groups that the U.S. are in for the group stage, I don't want to say they're cupcakes, but they're pretty close to it.
The Olympics is strange because, like, soccer, right? Nobody over 23 can play, right? Is
only that three senior players?
Okay, three senior players. Yeah. Gotcha. I had seen somewhere it was like it's a very adjusted roster.
Right.
Basketball is obviously not the case. You've got like a full NBA squad there, but
and that's not even a guarantee for them either.
No, some really good teams this year. Like Canada is super talented.
Lots of Wildcats.
They're
on
in
that
the group
too.
Of death, by the way.
Shai,
Jamal.
Yep.
Former Vol.
Yep. And they've got Serbia on Sunday.
Real quick, I got a text on my personal text line from my sister. She's, God, I feel so dumb not knowing her age on the air. She's probably listening.
No need.
She says her favorite is Simone Biles. With her on the bar, she is so cool. Hee, hee, hee.
So, Sister Newt, chiming
shout
in.
Shout out Sister Newt. Knowing Simone Biles in gymnastics.
Gymnastics, I think it's the most impressive that I watch, where I'm just like in awe of what these people are doing, like the men and women, but the woman especially, like Simone Biles and Suni Lee and all of these athletes, they are absolutely ridiculous, the strength that they have. I'll have to look at the schedule for that. I think they get started either today or tomorrow.
I think Sunday.
So sometime soon. We'll continue to talk about some of the better Olympic events. And again, that's our question of the day. What is your favorite Olympic event? You can text or call 615-737-1025. Let's get into some Titans talk here. Training camp began on Tuesday officially. Wednesday was the first practice. We've gotten to hear from Brian Callahan a few times. We've gotten to hear from some athletes. And let's start with some injury news, because I think that was the big question heading into training camp, was who's going to be out there? And we learned early in the week that Colton Dowell, Nicholas Petitfrere, they were the only two going on the PUP list. Legarius Sneed and Tavondre Sweat out there for day one, which was, I think those were the two big question marks for the Titans. But Legarius Sneed not out there for day two. Want to talk a little bit about this. Here is what Legarius Sneed had to say about the way that they're approaching things with his knee.
Are you guys going to do it just kind of like a day by day, like how you feel thing, or is it?
No, they have a plan for me. You know, they have days where I just, you know, did what I did today, and days that I just practice. It's a pretty good schedule that they got me on.
What have you got to accomplish, I guess, over the next 6 weeks to be peaking for week one?
I mean, you know, I'm healthy. You know, I just got to maintain it, you know, just get that to week one. That's all I'm trying to get to.
How does the knee feel if you're healthy? I guess what's happening.
My knee feel great.
Okay.
That's what knees feel great.
Why do you feel the need to keep the limitations if you're healthy?
Because the procedure that I'm having, you know, the things that I got going on with me, and, you know.
So, Legarius Sneed saying his knee feels great, but also has had procedures of some sort and needs to continue to be on this rest and recovery plan. How much concern does this give you guys that he says he's feeling fine, but clearly something has to be at least a little bit off if he's going to be missing some practice?
I mean, if we're having issues about injuries now and it's only training camp, that's a problem. I mean, obviously, Chidobe Awuzie with the calf strain.
Yeah, it makes you even more nervous about L'Jarius Sneed because now his running mate at cornerback is out for the foreseeable future, at least.
Yeah, for a couple weeks, few weeks, I think Brian Callahan was saying. But, like, for L'Jarius Sneed's For L'Jarius Sneed's
Sake.
Gosh. Okay. A lot of S's. Anyways, for that purpose, it's concerning. It really is. And the fact that, you know, he's on a regiment, which is a good thing. Yeah, if you're on a regiment, that's great. But if you look at the secondary now and whatever they use Jamal Adams as, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard his press conference, but the man was in a wheelchair for a little bit.
Yeah, he was.
Jamal Adams. I mean, he said football really humbled him and the game may not really love him back the way he thought it would. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that he's out here really trying to earn a spot is impressive and it's courageous, but at the same time, man, you got a lot of injuries to overcome.
Just, mostly in the secondary.
Yeah, yeah. Like Jamal Adams, L'Jarius Sneed, Chidobe Awuzie. I mean, your top three guys you're going to rely on in a roundabout way this season.
Not to segue away from L'Jarius, but you mentioned what are they doing with Jamal Adams. I was out there this week. So Jamal, they were actually playing at a nickel position, and they had, never mind.
What do you mean, never mind?
They're just playing in different spots is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're just trying to figure it out. Yeah, trying to figure it out. How does he mute himself? But anyway, no, he's talking back to Frazier. But no, I have one concern that kind of comes to mind, at least, guys, because if L'Jarius is, you know, trying to figure out what's best for him, I do have one thing I want to circle back with that he said at the end of that clip. So, Connor, can you play the back half of that clip one more time for me?
How does the knee feel if you're healthy? I guess just have
my knee feel great.
Okay.
Yes, knees feel great.
Why do you feel the need to keep the limitations if you're healthy?
Because the procedure that I'm having, you know, the things that I got going on with me.
And, so, you know, right there with that, I don't know if that means there is something coming up for him that he has to do before the season starts. We know that there is previous issues. I get that. So what does that mean? And I was debating this in the car yesterday with my wife, and we were talking about what this means. And I also have a friend of mine that does PT, and he does physical exercise rehab with athletes in college, and he's got his master's in that. And it's more of, it sounds like he's rehabbing constantly to make sure he is ready to play games, because there was no concern with him in Kansas City. He just didn't do training camp. He didn't practice as often, but he was in the games. I think that's going to be the biggest difference here is he's trying to have a regimen now. I think he's trying to get back to 100%, but my concern is, can he keep that level at the same, you know, at least goal of consistency that he wants? I don't know, but that's going to be, I think, a hamper on what he's trying to be this entire season.
Well, Brian Callahan said they talked to the Chiefs about the way that they had L'Jarius Sneed practicing and what they had him do each week to be ready for game day. So, at the very least, I think the Titans have a plan for him. It is just interesting to hear in back-to-back sentences, my knee is fine, and procedures that he's had.
He did make it clear that they had a regimen for him in Kansas City, and it's kind of carrying over to Tennessee. Like, the trainers are working together, it sounds like, from what he said. So,
and if he's the same player he was in Kansas City, I think the Titans will be pretty pleased with the player that they're getting.
We'll all be pretty pleased.
The only thing I think to take away from that is if you hear L'Jarius Sneed say that about, like, you know, he's had procedures this past offseason on his knee, I'm curious to know if he had that the previous season as well. Like, if that's just a normal routine, little small surgery of like a knee cleanup.
I think it's both
summers.
Yeah,
something like that.
Because,
yeah,
like, if that is the case, then I'm not as worried. But if it isn't the case of where he just had an actual little knee cleanup this year, but he's been doing the regimen at Kansas City like he's doing here, then it's a small concern.
Yes,
makes sense.
You hope that it's the same exact thing that's been happening for him, and he's just continuing his same rhythm
right.
instead of a new procedure or something popping up. I do want to mention before we hit the break, Brian Callahan saying injury news out loud and not hiding it from us is really refreshing to hear.
Another OBB in Nashville. Open book Brian.
It felt like we were in Bizarro World a little bit there. I was watching that press conference live and hearing him say, Cheeto's going to be out for a couple weeks with a calf injury. Like, how hard is that to say as a coach?
That was the very first thing he said, too. He said, before we get started, I'll preface this, you know, Harold is out with sickness, Cheeto's out with a calf injury for a couple weeks. And then we went on.
Brunskill as well. Like, that was awesome.
Like, it is nice to just get an open book and just say, here is what's happening. Because is that really too hard to say that Cheeto's got a calf thing and he's going to miss a few weeks instead of, hey, we don't know, it's lower body, could be back tomorrow, could be back in 6 weeks, we don't know. Like, I know Vrabel didn't say that, but that's kind of the way that he would try and approach it, is like try and give as little information as possible.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Brian Callahan just saying, like, what's the harm in letting the media know, hey, this guy's going to miss a few weeks.
I just look at this as two different styles of mind games where you don't specify the injury. You're like, oh, that's a mind game. But with Brian Callahan, it's like if you say exactly what it is, it's almost like psyching out your opponent even with saying the truth. I know that sounds weird for me to say, but like I look at it as another form of a mind game. And I don't know. I feel like it makes other people overthink what's going on.
That's true. Maybe the reverse psychology of it. But I'm happy to hear, not happy to hear that Chidobe Awuzie is hurt. We hope that he's back as soon as possible. But I'm happy to hear that Brian Callahan is being straightforward in his media availabilities as well. We'll keep talking about Titans training camp coming up next. Talk about what we could see in the next week. The pads are coming on next week. We've got practice at Nissan Stadium. What do we want to see from the Titans coming up in week two of training camp? That's up next. Force Company here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game and Chase McCabe at Bicentennial Park in Nashville today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. as Subway's three dipping slides take over the park. Brave a 37-foot drop through a 22-foot lavish flatbread tunnel, landing straight into Baja Chipotle, peppercorn ranch, and honey mustard sauce. Colored water with a saucy consistency. Thrill-seeking footlong fans over the age of 18 must act quickly and visit SubwayDippinSlide.com now to register for a coveted spot. Force Company here on the Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Nick Kieser, I don't know what that is, going to the Subway Dip and Slide, but that sounds fun. I wish it would be actual ranch. I would dive headfirst into a pool full of ranch.
I mean, go big or go home, right?
Sauce, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, pool of Zach sauce as well.
Yeah. Cane sauce, I had that the other day, but
head out there. The suit's out there starting in about 30 minutes for those Subway three dip and slides. Talking some Titans here on Force Company. Training camp started this week. A lot to look forward to as well. We were just talking about some of the injury news with L'Jarius Sneed on a regimen to get him ready for play for the regular season. Chidobe Awuzie out a few weeks. Tavondre Sweat out there on the field for the first 2 days. But the pads come on next week, and we're excited for that. Practice at Nissan Stadium today out in front of the fans. That should be fun. Is it usually this early that they have?
No, it's not. I don't think it is.
Usually like week two.
It's usually like in the middle of training camp for the
most
part.
Like right before preseason starts usually what I thought.
Last year I was at St. Thomas Sports Park, and that's where it was last year. It never was at Nissan Stadium last year. So I was out there with actually Parker Kelly, who works here at 102.5 The Game. We were out there last year. He wanted to go, so we got him out there, and that was when the fans got to come out and watch. I was there for that one. It's packed. Whenever that happens, and they probably clamored to have a bigger space so fans could go watch.
Yeah.
And this is a big team to keep tabs on right now, especially with all the moves and the new coaches. So I think with it being at Nissan Stadium, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, if you're headed out there, Brian Callahan, I believe, said the practice today is expected to be similar to what it's been like the first 2 days.
Yeah.
So some 7-on-7, a couple of full team. But the CBA states they're not allowed to put the pads on yet. I believe it's 8 days of ramp up, 7 or 8 days.
So we'll probably see around Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, sometime mid next week, we should see the pads come on. What are we hoping to see when the pads do come on? Because I know guys out there in the shells or whatever they call it, I think
the Guardian caps.
Yeah, whatever they're wearing right now.
Right.
You can get a decent idea of what guys look like, and the 7-on-7 stuff is pretty real. But you don't really get a vibe for what the team's going to look like till the pads come on. What are you guys hoping to see?
I mean, honestly, I'm hoping to see players healthy after the first crack of the pads. I mean, that's been the big issue with the Titans the last couple seasons is the availability of players. And so it just just looking at the roster, I mean, also the chemistry, that's the second thing I'm looking for, is just players to kind of get the groove down. Obviously, this is kind of the period to do so with all that. But would love to just see what the down-the-field passes are going to look like from Will Levis, because Brian Callahan emphasized that they're just working on the short game stuff, not trying to hurt anybody's hamstrings and stuff like that. So would love to see what the over-the-top deep threat looks like.
We have yet to see a deep ball through 2 days of training camp.
I
can tell you that.
They said nothing vertical, right? Like that's what they've been saying, is nothing vertical. Don't want anybody running 9 routes out there. And
been lots of halfback, you know, dump offs and short slant routes to the slot. But yeah, I'll get into this later in about, 10 minutes when the speaker takes the podium. But it's been lots of short routes to Tyler Boyd or to Chig Okonkwo, which has been really impressive to see Levis kind of build that connection, especially with Chig. I always love when a quarterback and a tight end have a tight connection. It works well. You've seen it with the Chiefs. You're seeing it with the Lions, Sam Laporta and Jared Goff. It's just Levis looks a lot more comfortable. So I'm curious to see how comfortable he is when the pads come on and he's got a pass rush coming after him full force.
And we'll get to the Pete Prisco article on Will Levis later on in the show. But Pete Prisco also mentioned Josh Wiley as a guy who stood out to him. So the Titans didn't make a move at tight end this year. They stuck with Chig and Josh Wiley. Maybe those two guys take a big step, and that's a solid tandem for Tennessee. I think the one thing I want to see when the pads come on is J.C. Latham. Because everything that J.C. Latham has done so far has... I mean, it's been exceptional. I don't think there's anybody could complain about J.C. Latham's work ethic or what he's done in the media. I talked to Chase and Big Joe earlier this week. You can find that on the podcast. I have loved everything I've seen from J.C. Latham, but I want to see when the pads come on, can he shut down Arden Key or Harold Landry or Rashad Weaver, who are all three very different types of edge rushers? I want to see what J.C. Latham looks like. We've already heard from Packers camp that Andre Dillard is having a very tough time in training camp.
It's no surprise.
Yeah, I guess a Packers reporter tweeted, like, Rashawn Gary is having a day. He's just burned by Andre Dillard on back-to-back snaps. And all the Titans reporters are quoting it like, does somebody want to tell him? Like,
well, when you have a guy who can't block a middle schooler, I'm sure that'll go well for the Packers.
They don't have an all-pro guy on the defense, okay? It's just... that's Andre Dillard.
Well, Rashawn Gary's a good player, but like, I think I could get by Andre Dillard if you if you asked me to. Not seriously, but I can't wait to see J.C. Latham. I think he is, outside of Will Levis, he is probably the second most important piece of this offense this year. If he has a good year, the Titans immediately will take a much larger step forward on the offensive side. So I can't wait to see what he looks like when the live bullets start flying next week.
And I think for me, one person that we've heard a lot about, I would say this week, and guys that have had eyeballs on him at least, and I know that linebacker is something that we're hoping works out for the team this year, Kenneth Murray, I think, is the name that comes to mind for me. You have Camp Darling as a question mark for us, who stands out. I don't know if he's the camp darling so far. I mean, Newt could probably crown one if he has one, but I think Kenneth Murray would be someone that stands out early for me, especially when the pads come on, because it feels like this is a fresh and great clean slate opportunity for a guy that maybe didn't do very well with the Chargers, that is hoping that Nashville is a great place to, you know, 180 in his entire career. You just go, hey, this is a new spot for me. Let's see how this works out. And he's brought a lot of juice with his answers so far. And he's ready to make a big impact so far. That's at least what he told Chase. Not Chase and Big Joe. I'm going back to the Latham interview. But he was actually talking with Joe Rexrode and TD. And I think Paul Kaharski was in that scrum too. But that was a great scrum, and I got a lot from that. So hopefully he's able to you know, dictate the pace and understands that he could be a big role on this team for sure.
First round talent out of Oklahoma, guy who added like 25 tackles in one game or something with the Sooners. So excited to see what he does with the change of scenery. Talking about camp, darling, Newt, do you have somebody who stands out like a Colin McCarthy or like Mason Kinsey, who never really ends up playing a huge role on Sundays, but like everybody gets fired up about him in camp?
Yeah. I think this guy will make the team for sure, just simply because of he's a rookie. But Jaquan Jackson has been a stunner for me. He's been taking a lot of third team, some second team reps, but he's been open. He's always open. And I know they're working on short slants and whatnot, but when he finds a hole, he's down the field and he's to the house. And granted, they're not hitting each other. They're not sending the houses at him, but he's fun to watch. And if I had to guess, I would think he's going to be probably the kick returner to start week one, probably on special teams. I can't really see him getting into the mix on offense, especially with a loaded wide receiver room. But to use the term you just used, he's been an absolute darling to watch. I mean, I haven't seen Mason Kinsey, honestly. I don't even know if he's still on the roster.
He always is. He's a cockroach. They can't get rid of him.
He's like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is another one. I know he's not necessarily he doesn't fit your description of camp darling, but I will never count him out. He is always there.
Yes. Until the end of time, NWI will be on the active roster and Mason Kinsey will be on the practice squad. It'll be 2086 and Mason Kinsey will be elevated for week 11 against the 49ers or whatever it is.
Could you imagine? I'm having trouble with this mic, but could you imagine if that were to happen?
That dude, he went to like D3 Barry College in Georgia or something like that, and he just finds a way to stick around. Respect to him. I mean, he has carved out, what, four or five years now on the practice squad, something like that.
But crazy. He knows the system. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
He knows
Get that
system.
Gold jacket for
Just
him.
Like Logan Woodside.
I mean, you can't really expect him to make the roster like Connor said. I think if you had to put money down, I think your six wide receivers are Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, Burks, NWI, Jaquan Jackson. Like I would guess those are the six. Maybe you get a seventh. But Mason Kinsey's not going to make the roster, but just like he does every year, he'll get through waivers. And
I would throw Julius Chestnut in that darling conversation, too. He's a guy kind of like Mason Kinsey, always finds a way to make the roster. I think he'll probably get in as the third back. Probably.
Yeah, Chestnut and Hassan Haskins the battle for RB3 behind Pollard.
There's also been some talk about John Ajokwu, too.
Yeah, at right tackle. With no Nicholas Petit-Frere, it seems like he's taking advantage of his opportunities.
Yeah, man, I think that would be one to keep tabs on for sure. You want a good right tackle. They really need depth there, hopefully, with Dylan Reinitz. You know, hopefully he's reliable somewhat, but I'm not too privy on the idea of him being an everyday starter moving forward for years to come necessarily. But as long as they have depth there, and then also PT's not, you know, available either. So that's a problem.
Did seem like he is at least close to coming back. So maybe next week we see Nicholas Petit-Frere, aka
PT
back on the field.
They wanted me to do that yesterday on Fan Run, and I was like, I can't do it. That's Jared and Ian.
Yeah, that's Ian Safar has that trademarked, I think. Well, that's our thoughts on Titans camp. When we come back, 9:45, you know what that means. It's time for Newt's Notes, and the speaker will give his thoughts. He's been out there at Titans training camp for the first couple of days. He will give his big takeaways. Coming up next, Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I will teach you how to get your keister stomped in by the man they call the megastar. Yeah, and no matter what classroom you sit in, the curriculum's always the same, with everybody saying, yeah, now hit that music.
An advanced intro for Newt's Notes this morning. Well done, Connor Newt. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Four's Company. And as we wrap up our number one, as we always do, the speaker takes the floor. Go ahead, Connor.
Thank you, guys. Let me talk to you in a civilized manner.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you referenced, I had the opportunity to go out there this week and hang out with the Titans, be around for training camp, get to see some stuff, and I got some takeaways. So I'm going to give you three positives and three negatives heading into, well, not heading into anything, really just my takeaway of the 2 days I was out there. So in all, we're now Jared Stillman. We'll start with the positives. Number one, Bill Callahan is fun to watch, and he is an electric coach. He's so little. I think he's like 5'8", 5'9", but that voice carries across the entire field. He rips into those guys, man. There was at one point, they were doing a team play, and he pulled Dylan Radins aside and said some choice words I can't say over the air, but Radins turned bright red and got right back out there, and yeah, good job, Dylan. It was awesome. And I think this really just plays into the Bill Callahan is an offensive line guru thing we've been told, and I can confirm based on what I've seen, the coaching style is there. He's to say electric would be an understatement.
That true tough love coach. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, just so much fun. Number two, L'Jarius Sneed, Tavondre Sweat are on the field. That's good. Full participants the first day. L'Jarius Sneed was out Thursday. But Tavondre Sweat was in there. He was getting reps. And I told you last week I wanted to see him right next to Big Jeff in every drill. Guess where he was? They were running pass rush drills. Tavondre Sweat second. Jeffrey Simmons first. Go. On the line together. Jeffrey Simmons in the middle. Tavondre Sweat right next to him. Go. Love to see it. Tavondre Sweat, welcome to the team.
They eat lunch together?
That I don't know.
Hope they did.
They didn't do media together.
Are they carpooling?
Maybe. I've been hearing they're playing college football in the locker room thanks to J.C. Latham. So
love it.
I'm hoping. Also, while we're on to Tavondre Sweat, he did fire back at Tennessee and say Texas is the real UT and that Tennessee is on their SEC high. And I'm like, Tavondre, you're in the SEC now, buddy. Anyways.
Welcome to the South.
Number three, positive. Ryan Stonehouse, back from injury, still has a boot. And not like a health boot. I mean a metaphorical boot. He's punting and it's gone. He looks just as good, if not better than ever. And I firmly believe, I kind of joke about this, but Ryan Stonehouse may be the best player on this roster.
Your local real estate agent, Ryan Stonehouse.
Oh, yeah. He's fun to watch, man. For open periods, of course, you know how practice works. You can only talk and film about so much. But open period, the first day, you can go look at my Twitter, at @C_Newt15. I posted a video of Stoner getting some work in, and man, he punted it maybe 45 yards. I'm not even joking. It was incredible. So that's the positives. Now let's get to the negatives. Tony Pollard. First day, not great.
I know. Yeah, I know where you're going with this because you texted us.
I did text you guys this. Pollard did not look great. He looked better his second day. His first day, especially in first team, did not look good. I think he fumbled a total of 3 times throughout team.
Yikes.
It was not good. And which is kind of counters Tajay Spears, who's been all I wanted to see. He's been electric. He's one of those guys. I mean, I hammer it home. He finds a hole, he's gone to the house. He's that shifty, that fast. But Tony Pollard, on the other hand, I think he'll figure it out. But I kind of like him as the number two back right now. I like Tajay as kind of the workhorse here. I like Pollard as the number two. And I think based off last season with the Cowboys, you kind of saw what Pollard is capable at running back one. And let's just say the serving size isn't that impressive. Nothing great. It's been the Tajay Spears show for me at running back throughout camp.
You're saying Pollard has a limit to what he can do at RB1.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Which is why I didn't really get why they gave him $8 million a year, because I felt like Tajay Spears was on the trajectory to pass Tony Pollard in the near future. So maybe they're 1A, 1B, but I think by the end of the year, I think you're right. I think Tajay Spears is the workhorse.
I mean, he's got plenty of money to open up his own barbecue place in town now.
That is true. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys caught that, but his family does own a barbecue place in Memphis.
So yes.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I will definitely eat there.
I knew you would love that. Hey, Memphis barbecue is real barbecue.
It's different. Yeah. That's delicious. Top notch.
Top notch. Okay. Treylon Burks. I think we all kind of expected this to happen with where the wide receiver room is on the first team. But Burks has kind of been taking second and third team snaps. a bit of a negative, especially where he was drafted number 16 overall last year, 2 years ago. Thank you. But that's not to say he's been disappointing, but he hasn't. There's not much of a sample size for me to work with here through 2 days. He did have one impressive catch a couple days ago. Levis, actually on the first seam, dimed it a little bit. Not a full, you know, deep throw, but nice slant, nice catch, broke a tackle, got in. Good for Burks. But that is not where I would, if you would ask me 2 years ago where Treylon Burks would be in the year 2024, I would not be telling you he's taking second and third team reps. That's just not what I was hoping, not what anyone was hoping. Kind of a negative to see him where he is now. But in the words of Jared Stillman for our third negative, Tavondre Sweat is huffing and puffing. Now, he's on the field, which is good, but the conditioning needs some work. He needs to kind of, I know we're first couple days of practice, maybe it hasn't set in yet, conditioning is all it takes, but he looks exhausted out there. He's only in there for maybe 2 to 3 snaps, and then he'll rotate out, which isn't great. I don't want to see that in a live game scenario where, you know, we need a third down run stop or something, and he's over on the sideline, and I don't know, who's the one they brought in from Texas that is
Keandre
Coburn. I don't want to see him. I want to see Tavondre Sweat. But yeah, that's, I know I'm not trying to sunshine pump here or anything, as Jared would say, toxic positivity, but the positives have outweighed the negatives here. And I've believed that through my first couple days of being here. I expect to go out there again sometime here soon in the next couple weeks or so. But yeah, I mean, another positive I could say is Levis looks really, really comfortable. I kind of said that last segment, but he's stepping up in the pocket. He's got some good pocket presence. I haven't seen him take off for the scramble. I don't think he really will, just for the sake of install and the offense. But yeah, he looks great. The offense in general looks great. Calvin Ridley is as advertised. Let me tell you, he's quick. He can bring a ball down. And then, of course, D-Hop is your reliable veteran you're always going to have. D-Hop actually said the other day this is the happiest he's ever been in an organization. So that's good.
Take that, Houston.
I would not be surprised if we see an extension here in the next year or so. But yeah, I mean, like I said, positives outweigh the negatives. I'm curious to hear what your takeaways from my takeaways are, but that's what I've seen so far from my first couple days.
I think you mentioned Treylon Burks and the wide receivers. I can't wait to see those joint practices with Seattle, because Seattle's got some dogs at cornerback. Tariq Woolen, Witherspoon, who they just drafted a year ago out of Illinois. Like, they've got some guys out there. I'm excited to see what not only Ridley and Hopkins do, but when Treylon Burks gets matched up with a really good corner on the other side from, I want to see if he can start to separate himself and start to make some plays.
The trash talk is going to be immaculate,
too. Oh my goodness, yeah.
Jamal Adams was like, I can't really trash talk yet because I'm new and I'm kind of learning the system, but he said, best believe when I get in, it's coming.
Yeah, there's going to be at least one scrum. There always is, but Jamal Adams is going to start something in that week, I'm sure, against his former team.
Simmons has been kind of the leader in the clubhouse in the trash talk
right,
department this
he
week.
Always is, so. He's always that big talk for sure, from what we have all heard. But I'm interested to see if DeAndre Hopkins ends up going, I fear God, homie. I fear God. Like that one clip he had. I thought, I forget who it was against, but it was a joint practice a long time ago with the Texans.
Oh,
against Washington.
It was Josh Norman? No, it wasn't. It was D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah,
that's who it was.
Yeah.
I forgot about D'Angelo.
It was D'Angelo Hall. Old man D'Angelo at that point. Him and D-Hop got after it. Not quite Andre Johnson, Cortland Finnegan, but close.
Pretty close. I mean, the thing you look at when you have scrums, you want to see how your team reacts to it. And if your team reacts to it, is it like a whole convoy of like a dog pound? Then you know you got a good team, a good core, a good chemistry.
We're going to see some sort of, hopefully not a brawl, but some sort of like, there's going to be some pushing and shoving with guys like Adams and Simmons and Hopkins who are going to be talking.
Good.
Which, you need a little bit of that. I think if you're not fighting a little bit.
It's team bonding.
Yeah, you got to get a little bit of that. I'm sure that the coaches will be ready to break it up and make sure it doesn't escalate, but you need a little fire in there when you get those joint practices together. So excited for that. I believe that's in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it should be about 3 weeks.
Because San Francisco is week one of the preseason. Yep. That's August 10th. And then the week after that, I think, is the joint practice.
The week of the 13th.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. So a little under 3 weeks away. Excited for that. And again, the Titans are out at Nissan Stadium today for their third practice of training camp. So that should be fun as well. That wraps up our number one here on Forrest Company. When we come back, we're going to get back to our question of the day quickly before some more Titans talk, some Will Levis talk in our number two. Our question of the day, what is your favorite Olympic event? The Olympics are officially underway, opening ceremonies last night. We've talked about a few of our favorites. We'll do a little bit more of that, but we want to hear from you. Text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our number two coming up next. You're on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.